Today's episode of the MCOCME podcast is not anything at all related to MCOC because I wanted to do something different. I wanted to do an episode that's about my story, and specifically my story of living and working and playing and touring in and around Nashville for the last 12 years. Because I feel like a lot of my listeners, they don't really know like the whole story behind this show, but also where I came from. All that, you know, behind the scenes type stuff. Because the show has been really around for about, it'll be 4 years in September, which is, that's kind of cool. But every time, you know, I come on here, I'm always talking about MCOC, whether it be funny rants or, you know, helpful tips, any of the sort of what's going on. But I'm going to change that today because I have recently just celebrated 12 years of living and working in the music industry in Nashville, Tennessee, and that is a very fucking hard thing to do because Nashville is Music City. There's a lot of people that come here with a lot of dreams and aspirations, and, you know, it's a very tough town to kind of, you know, establish yourself in. And to be able to say that I've been working steadily in this business for 12 years is really, really cool. And I don't take it for granted at all, and I would like to share kind of how it all happened, some of the really cool stuff that came from it, obviously a couple of the highs and the lows, but buckle up, here we go. I'm not going to take up too much of your time with this because I do like to keep my episodes to the point, but around like January, February of 2012, I was kind of in this position where I was spinning my wheels up in my hometown of Saratoga Springs, New York, and I was just not my best. I wanted more for myself, and I just didn't know what to do. Nashville had kind of been on my radar for a few years. I had visited Nashville back in 2010. My mom and I went on a little bit of a day trip while we were visiting family in Kentucky. Really enjoyed the city. I felt like I belonged there, but it wasn't the right time. So, you know, fast forward a couple years later, a lot of the bands that I had played in had either, they'd either fallen apart or they just weren't working anymore. The relationship that I was in was no longer happening. And then I was kind of in between jobs as well. I was a temporary substitute teacher at a school in Mechanicville, New York. And I was also doing some part-time shifts at my local guitar shop just to kind of, you know, piggyback that whole thing. But it just wasn't enough. And, you know, a lot of those things had, you know, fallen apart that were kind of placeholders for when I was in New York. This one day, I was talking to my dad, and he had mentioned that he has a friend who lives in Nashville. And here's his number, give him a call, kind of see what happens sort of thing. So I'm thinking to myself, like, all right, let me just call this guy up and see what we can, you know, kind of talk about. His name was Matt Neary, you know, dear friend of mine. Unfortunately, he's passed away now, which is, you know, a very, you know, sad thing. But Matt took a chance on me. We started talking. I told him what I wanted to do, what I wanted to accomplish. And from about like January, like mid-January to about mid-February, our talks were really heating up. They were really actually very interesting. And he kind of, you know, decides to, you know, really sort of, I don't want to say call my bluff, but really kind of see if I was going to do this thing. And he tells me that his wife has a sister who has a son that has a house outside of Nashville, and they are looking for a roommate. And I'm thinking to myself, this could not be any more just fortuitous for, you know, for what I'm looking for. And I didn't know what to do, and Matt didn't really know me. We never had met each other. But once again, I went down to Kentucky to go see my cousin for her birthday, and I went down with my mom and my grandmother, and I decided to kind of sneak away, go on another day trip to Nashville. I met with Matt, met with his family, and went and saw the house, and then I just said, hey, look, let's do this thing. Came back, told my family who was down there, hey, look, I'm moving to Nashville, and then that was that. It was kind of a bit of a whirlwind because I basically drove from off Saratoga to Kentucky, Kentucky to Nashville, Nashville back to Kentucky, Kentucky back to New York. And then I was going to pack it up 2 weeks later and then make the road trip again from Nashville, sorry, from Saratoga to Nashville. And that was just a lot of driving, but it was like I couldn't really say no. I was kind of, you know, gifted this home to go down and just figure it out. So I moved down there and just kind of took whatever savings I had, plus, you know, 2 weeks worth of just working and stuff like that. And I went down, I moved into Brent, like the Brentwood area of Tennessee with this, you know, with Matt's house that he was helping me with here. And from there, you know, I didn't have any jobs and it had really, you know, I didn't know anybody except for Matt and another friend of mine who was a guitar tech. He's actually a guitar tech for Def Leppard. So he's very in and out of town, but he kind of helped me sort of like meet some new people as well too. And then from there, I just started like answering a lot of Facebook posts, just kind of went out there and was just, you know, going around downtown, meeting new people, different players, just saying who I was, what I wanted to do. I was sitting in, doing all this stuff. I eventually found a job as a busboy at Buga de Beppo in Cool Springs, Tennessee. And then Matt worked for a company called Kimbrough Oil, and they needed a delivery guy. So I kind of helped them out in the warehouse for a little bit. And then I went and turned myself into a delivery guy, delivering water and other accessories and supplies around town. And it was really cool for learning the layout of Nashville and everything. And then this is, you know, March, April of 2012. And during that time, I reconnected with a former college classmate. She went to my college in Oneonta, New York for about just 1 year. I was a sophomore. She was a freshman. But we stayed in contact, and she caught wind of me moving to Nashville. So we all got together. I met her husband, and he was on tour with an artist named Rodney Atkins. And one day, she's like, "Hey, how would you feel about being a guitar tech?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" And she tells me that, you know, the artist that her husband was looking for, was working for, they're looking for a guitar tech and a backline tech. And for those of you who don't know what backline is like all the amps and the other instruments that you see on stage, making sure that they all work and that they all function properly. I'd never done that before, but I had, you know, worked on guitars and stuff like that. So I was like, yeah, I'd be very interested in doing that. So I met with her husband. He laid the whole thing out for me. Didn't know what was going to happen. I thought it was just kind of like a, you know, whatever kind of thing. But then the conversation started to heat up. And then all of a sudden I got hired for my very first touring gig as a guitar tech. And I did that for the month of May of 2012 and also of, you know, June of 2012. But unfortunately, my position was more of a placeholder until a more seasoned professional had come around and was available. Because at the time I had never toured before. I was kind of figuring that whole thing out, and luckily with country touring, it wasn't that much of like a like an arduous schedule or anything like that, but I had to kind of, you know, figure a lot of things out on my own. Unfortunately, on the way back from this show that we had in Syracuse, after my whole family had shown up, I got pulled in the back lounge. Then my production manager told me, "Hey, we got to make a change, and we have to let you go." And I was like, I was destroyed. I literally was like sobbing in the back of this tour bus because I thought that, you know, everything was over. I thought that I wasn't going to survive any further in Nashville, but, you know, luckily that turned into something different because he said, "Listen, we loved your work ethic. We loved your attitude. We want to bring you back, but we're going to put you in a different position if that's okay with you." And I'm like, "Yeah, whatever works, because I want to, you know, still tour and stuff like that." So they rehired me back in July of 2012 as part of their production team. So I was kind of more in charge of helping set up like, you know, lights, videos, stuff like that, and just kind of helping out with like packing the truck, kind of getting the stage set up going and stuff like that. And I did that for about 2 years. So I was with this artist, Rodney Atkins, from 2012 to 2013. At the end of 2013, got thrown an amazing opportunity to go work for Luke Bryan. And I did that from 2014 to 2018. And that was just really cool. I did a lot of really cool gigs with him. Some of his first ever stadium shows where he was headlining. I was with him when he won the CMA Entertainer of the Year back to back. A lot of really great opening acts I got to work with. In between that time as well, I got to do some work for Dustin Lynch as his show director, which was really fun. But everything really changed in 2018 when I got my first like kind of international pop tour. And that was I got hired by Justin Timberlake to go do his Man of the Woods tour. So I went overseas to Europe for the first time. And I'd gone overseas before previously to Australia with Dustin Lynch to do some shows with him, which was amazing. But I was only in Australia for a week. And if you haven't gone to Australia, go. It's amazing. And the wildlife is just as fascinating as it is scary. But had to leave Luke to go to the Justin Timberlake tour. I did that for from July of 18 to February of 2019. And then from there, I got a really interesting position, which is kind of funny how this happened. I have to kind of tell this because this is just kind of wild. I was in New York City, and unfortunately, Justin got sick at our Madison Square Garden show. So we had to kind of put things on hold. And my crew chief was like, hey, guys, like, there's going to be no show tonight. Just kind of go hang out, come back when it's time to load the show out. So I went and I met up with my cousins in New York City. And as I'm walking on the streets of Manhattan, of all the people I could see in Manhattan, was the guitar player of this band Dream Theater named John Petrucci. If you don't listen to Dream Theater, progressive rock, you probably have no idea who I'm talking about. If you do, you know that John's a bad boy. He's a bad motherfucker when it comes to guitar playing. I saw him on the street. And what's funny is I had met John previously at a Dream Theater show. So I kind of jogged his memory a bit, but I was just like, hey, man, like, how you doing? What's going on? He was just like, hey, you know, good to see you again, whatever. Just kept it face value. What was funny was, too, I had actually helped their tour manager a couple years ago who lives in Nashville move from house to house. And he's also from kind of the same area of New York that I'm from. And I decided to text him. Like, hey, just ran into John here in town. It's kind of funny how this whole thing happened. And their tour manager says, hey, look, we need a guy to kind of help assist the band, assist the crew, and assist the production. Would you be interested in doing it? And I was like, yeah, I'd be interested in doing that. Get to work for one of my favorite bands and do that whole thing. Absolutely. So I said yes. And from just a random encounter on the street, I was able to lock in my next gig. So once I got done with Justin, I went and worked for Dream Theater, being there kind of like day-to-day guy, taking care of the band, the crew, the show, and all that kind of stuff. And I went all over the world, pretty much conquered about 5 out of 7 continents on that one. And then unfortunately, 2020 happened with the pandemic, so everything was came to a screeching halt. And then luckily, after, you know, that whole thing kind of, you know, got itself under control, air quotes, was able to get back into touring, did a small tour with Lady A back in 2021. And then in 2022, got this amazing opportunity to go overseas and do Rammstein, which was fucking awesome. Those guys are amazing. If you've never seen their show, you got to go check it out. I mean, we packed stadiums, like full-on, you know, soccer, or as they say in Europe, football stadiums. And everything was rigged to blow. There was fire everywhere. It sounded amazing. These guys are just awesome. And it was a band that I only knew, like, one song from. But to be able to, like, tour with them, yeah, that was pretty neat. And then after that, I did my first ever Korean pop tour, which was definitely an experience unto itself. And then this last year, 2023, did 5 different tours all in 1 year. Did Harry Styles, Carrie Underwood, Reba McEntire, did Rammstein again, just did John Party. And now I'm kind of gearing up for my next tour here, which is going back out with Justin Timberlake. So I'm pretty excited about that. But the point of this episode, the point of this story, is I want to kind of just convey something to people out there who are, maybe they're stuck where they are. They don't know what to do. Maybe they're a little timid about taking a risk. They just don't have the confidence to do anything. What I want my story to serve to people who are listening here is this. Sometimes you just got to take a risk. Sometimes you got to just at least try something out. And you know, my first couple of months here in Nashville, it was not easy. Between, like I said, driving, you know, from New York to Nashville, my car had some issues, had to get that fixed. Then I had to give, you know, deposit for the first and last month's rent. And I was really, really kind of like, money was tight. Money was super tight. At one point, I weighed more than my bank account. And luckily, having the two jobs got me there, but my parents were actually really cool. They kind of helped, you know, support me when times were lean. And I was very much like thankful for that. I tried to repay my parents. My dad wouldn't allow it. And he said, you know, your grandfather would help you out. I'm going to help you out kind of thing. So that was really cool that they had my back and they wanted the best for me in those situations. And for as fortunate as I am to be having toured with these amazing artists, like, it all comes from just simply taking that risk and literally just kind of shooting your shot. And since I've been here, I've never kind of wavered from who I am as a person. I've never really bought into the whole, like, trying to be somebody I'm not kind of thing. I treat everybody the same. I wear my, you know, my personality on my sleeve. I don't like to get, you know, the whole, like, let's play games kind of thing. That's just not something I do. I've been fortunate enough to play with some really great artists here in Nashville, do some really great writers rounds. Had the opportunity to open up for Luke for his farm tour back in 2015, which was awesome. It was really cool to just play with a bunch of different people and, you know, play in front of, like, thousands of people. And for those who are kind of, like, wondering, hey, what's next for me? What do I want to do? I always believe that, like, God will put you in a position to lead you to a door, but then it's up to you to go through the door. And he's going to give you, like, the tools, maybe the bravery, maybe the strength to kind of, you know, get through this thing. But ultimately, it's up to you to take that first step and get through that door. And I had to do that. I had to really kind of muster everything up. I had to kind of, like, just cast aside all my doubts, all my fears, and really just say to myself, look, if we're going to do this, let's go ahead and do it. And also, I was 24 turning 25. So it was a good time for me to really just kind of shake things up. And, you know, it was tough leaving my best friends and my family and just kind of, you know, just going into the unknown. You know, like Frozen 2, into the unknown kind of thing. But I kept the faith. I kept everything, you know, just one day at a time. I wasn't trying to do things that were just out of my reach. I just wanted to kind of start small, help out different artists, play for different people. And then that turned into, like, to bigger things. And all I did was just network. And when I say network, what I mean is, like, I just went out and I met people. I just wanted to have coffee. Let's talk. Let's just try to, like, get to know each other. That's all I want to do. And from just building relationships and cultivating those relationships, whether it was at college or whether it was down here, and, you know, either through, you know, work ethic, performance, or just even just being a, you know, a good person to people, that's how the phone keeps ringing, and that's how opportunities keep kind of coming to people. And I think it's important that in this age right now where we are so glued to devices and we are kind of, like, maybe a little bit bashful and a little, you know, anxiety ridden about, you know, talking to people and kind of, you know, taking chances, you got to go out there and you got to take a chance, whether it's a small one or a big one. And just the genuine human connection, you would not believe how deep that can run and how much mileage you can get out of that simply just by connecting with people and just making things happen. And like with this show, for example, you know, I started it as just kind of like a pandemic project because I had nothing to do. Musically, there wasn't anything going on. And I had all these, like, you know, thoughts and ideas about the, you know, about the game. And that's turned into, you know, a really cool thing. I've made a ton of new friends from just doing this thing. A lot of people have been tuning into the show, connecting on a virtual level. And I've actually had the pleasure of meeting some of these people in real life. And that was, like, one of the coolest things ever because we were just, you know, dudes having a good time eating barbecue, talking Marvel Contest of Champions. And, you know, just, you know, even doing the show was, you know, that was a little bit of a risk. So I was like, man, I kind of hate the way my voice sounds when I talk. And I don't really like the way that I kind of go on about certain things. And, you know, how am I going to keep this show moving? But the cool thing is the game itself is organic, and that provides me with a lot of material to keep on moving. But to kind of just wrap this up, to the listeners out there that have dreams, have goals, have aspirations, and don't know what to do, maybe they're kind of like, they think their window is closing, or maybe they are just kind of wondering, you know, did I miss my opportunity? Look, you have opportunities out there. You have a ton of different things at your disposal. Go out there and just fucking live your life and go crush that stuff. If you fail, fail forward. I got fired from my first ever tour, quote unquote. But you know what? My work ethic, my personality, it made me fail forward into another avenue of live concert productions that has served me very well. And I've been doing just a lot of different jobs, and it's just been a very, very fun ride. And, you know, to be able to have toured all over with some really big names is great. But at the end of the day, I really rely on the strength and love of my family and my friends to keep me going. And they, you know, they are definitely the wind that propels my sails, if you will. And I think that's important for people to have too, is like a really good community of people behind them. And, You know, don't worry about the rejections. Don't worry about the naysayers. Listen, just focus on your goals. Focus on what you really want out of life, whether it's relationships, whether it's career stuff, whether it's just like these dreams of like maybe owning a house or just making your own business or doing whatever you want to do. Maybe you want to write a book. Maybe you want to do all these other things. Just go out there with confidence. You know, like Henry David Thoreau said, go confidently in the direction of your dreams. That's what I did, and I hope that you all do the same. This is the MCOCME podcast, and thanks for listening.